Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the National Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. We are broadcasting from Jamaica, New York. Anyway, welcome December 9th, 2012. Getting ready to go to 2:13. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Time flies when you're having some fun. Anyway, we've got some interesting conversations for you tonight, but let's start off with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, December 9th, 2012, New York City. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. So that is a declaration. It's an opportunity for us to look to see who we are and what we're up to in our world. And the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide our participants. So the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And that's the conversation that we are in. That's the conversation that we're looking to have you be in and really, you know, look for yourself to see where you see yourself, where you're situated. We're always looking for what the next conversation is. We are that conversation. You know, that's the bottom line. We are the International Black Summit. it's funny. If you look at other things out there, there are a lot of other folks and things out there that have that conversation Black Summit on them. If you do a search for Black Summit, one of the things that came up was Target. Now, I don't know what kind of Black Summit they have, but anyway, it's all good. But our website is blacksummit.org. And you can find out various information about us and what we're up to and what we're doing. And Henrietta has joined us. Hi, Henrietta. Welcome to the call. Hi.
Thanks, Glenn. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful and blessed.
Oh, well, you can't get much. I don't even think you can get better than that.
I'm feeling pretty darn good, okay?
I know. That's me. Me too. I'm like, it's Christmas time. It's holiday season. I was I just left a concert a couple of hours ago that was just, oh my God, every kind of music, you know, from all different countries, and oh, it was just wonderful. And the choir, which is a community renewal chorus, I'm giving a shout out to them and their conductor, Jerome Bell. It was just awesome. The harmonies were just magnificent. And it really put me in the spirit of things. It really, really, you know, put me in the spirit of things. And church also, you know, there was a really good lesson that's in total alignment this morning with our question, our declaration, I should say, or the question for this year, this 2013 season. So what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides access to my vision fulfilled. Now, the tell me if you want to go here yet, but it's about trust, the what I'm going to talk about. So just let me know, Glenn, when the right time to talk about that part of the question, trust that it provides access to my vision fulfilled. That's what I want to share, you know, when you have time for that tonight.
Well, let's do it now, baby. Let's go for it. You know, we don't have no have to's in this, you know,
okay.
One of the things about the International Black Summit for you guys listening out there is that It's about what we feel in the moment, what is there, what is present, what is available. So in that moment you see something, let's go there now.
Okay, so I see this. And I just got it so clearly when I was, like, thinking about the question. But here, let me repeat what everybody who attended the Birmingham Summit, and even those who didn't attend it, but those who are in the summit conversation, we walk around every day and the question we're asking ourselves, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. Okay, so the trust part, I want to tie into the story or the message, the lesson sermon this morning that was, you know, that I heard. And the minister, Reverend Evelyn Boyd, a shout out to her, she did an excellent job. But she told this story as if it were a drama. And she told the story about Mary and Joseph. And Mary being promised to Joseph probably when she was about 5 years old, okay? And all of this time, you know, she was being prepared to be his wife. And right before it's time for them to marry, you know, and he's working and doing and preparing for this wife, she has to go to him and tell him that she's pregnant. Okay? So, oh, my God, this is so good. This is so good. Now, I'm speaking from the lesson I heard this morning. I also went to see the Friday night. I went to see the Black Nativity, Langston Hughes play, poetry, music, and so it's all tied together with that. Okay, so she's telling this story of Mary coming to him and saying, you know, I'm pregnant, and he's like, who's the father? Okay, it's not me. Who's the father? You know, and so you know she had to hesitate because when you tell your fiance, the one that you are, what's the term, betrothed to, that you are pregnant, and now you got to tell them it's by the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is he going to think? or what is he going to do? Now, secretly, there's a theory that he was going to get rid of her some kind of way. All right? And there's some mental stuff around that, like, because his mind could not wrap around this. And because, you know, Joseph was the man in his town. He was the man. And he could not, you know, this would not only bring shame to her, but it would bring shame to him, okay? Because he would look stupid having, you know, not been checking out his fiance to think that she could go and get pregnant somewhere else. Now, this is the way the story is being told in two of them in this play and in the lesson sermon this morning. And so when she tells him it's the Holy Spirit, he, in the play, just tells her to get away from him. You know, just get away from me. Okay, just get away from me. And in the play, that's what happens. In the story, she, when God, you know, an angel tells her, an angel, which is metaphysically means a messenger from God, okay, tells her that she's going to get pregnant before she actually gets pregnant, or that she, you know, she's going to bring forth the Messiah and all of that stuff. And so as she is excited about being chosen for this, because she's a person who really loves God, and every day she's, you know, she represents one who magnifies the Lord daily. So, she, you know, she's all about it, and whatever the Holy Spirit is giving her to do, she's going to do it. So what does she do, Glenn? She trusts. She trusts that everything is going to be okay, because she's listening to Spirit and she's being obedient. So she's trusting that everything would be okay. Joseph, on the other hand, has to be with what is. Notice his trigger. Okay? Notice the trigger and be with what is. Okay? What can he do? He can, I mean, you know, he can get rid of her and the baby. He can do this. You know, he can do a lot of things because he's the man.
Right.
So he goes to sleep, all right, and all this anguish or whatever, he goes to sleep. And in a dream, an angel, a messenger from God, tells him what he's to do. He is to marry her and go forth with his plan, that indeed the baby is going to be his son, but it is that she conceived through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, he has to trust. He has to trust. Not only does he have to trust that this dream that he had is what he's supposed to do, he's got to trust himself that he's not going to accuse this woman of adultery, which she could be stoned to death in that day had he accused her of it. All right? But he also would have had to prove that it wasn't his. And they didn't have none of that going on in that day. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. And when he goes to sleep, then it is revealed to him. Because, you know, they say when you sleep, that's the only time your mind actually relaxes enough so that Spirit can speak to you without all of the judgment and anxiety and stuff you would put on it, is when you sleep. And that's what dreams are about, messages that you really need to hear clearly. So when you look at the question that we have, it totally fits into this story, because Joseph notices his trigger, be with what he has to be with what is. And he has to trust that this will provide access to his vision fulfilled. His vision is to marry, you know, to be married, to raise a family, you know, that, you know, train his children to be good contributors to the universe, all of that. And he has to trust that that will occur. That's his vision. You know, that's his vision. He's working toward that. Okay? So he does it. He trusts. Then he has another dream after the baby is born and, you know, Herod goes crazy about a king, you know, somebody actually taking his place because he's got king, literally, he's thinking a king is going to be born to replace him. He doesn't understand metaphysics at that time and what king actually meant, you know, in this particular story. And so once again, because Joseph trusted the first time and was guided and everything worked out, he now has to trust again because Herod has ordered that all the children under 2 years old be killed if they're boys. And so once again, in a dream, an angel comes to him and tells him to take the Mary and the baby and flee to Egypt so that they will be safe and the prophecy will be fulfilled. Trust. See, there's trust means in how I'm getting it in this particular moment. Trust means that no matter what it looks like, no matter what the consequences might be if you tell somebody else, no matter what you are feeling, that there is something within you that is telling you what to do. And it's guiding and directing you, and you must trust it. And when you trust it, it will provide access to your vision fulfilled. It's the perfect story for this question. You know, talk to me, Glenn. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And so here, you know, like here it is. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the king. We're still celebrating this 2,000 years later. All right? So just think about that. When you're thinking about what gifts, and this is the question that Glenn and I decided to talk about tonight, is what gift will you give yourself this holiday season? Will you allow the Christ, okay, the Christ, to be born in you? No matter what religion you are, no matter what your belief is or is not, but will you allow that still small voice that speaks to you, will you trust it? Will you obey it? Will you trust it enough to obey? Will you look at the things that you have been blessed with already? And will you trust it enough to know that the vision that you have for yourself, that every time you're triggered and every time you surrender and be with what is, be with that thing that has triggered you, that it will provide access to your vision fulfilled. I'm complete. I'm complete in the moment.
Well, you know, first of all, wow. but the thing that I got that I was present to is the God in all of us.
Yeah.
You know, in your speaking, in the parable, in the you know, and given that, who do we see ourselves to be? Mm-hmm. And the other part that comes to mind is the deliverance of the vision that we have for the world and ourselves. You know, I was in a conversation earlier tonight with, you know, powerfully looking at our vision and looking at what that looks like and how do you get to your vision. And part of it is getting clear. But your vision is really the your purpose is inside your vision. And your vision is inside your purpose. So that the two are very highly related to each other. So they are they're inside of each other. And so in this conversation, you know, both Joseph and Mary have to look inside of themselves. Mm-hmm. Inside of their faith, inside of their trusting, inside of their vision and possibility for themselves and for the world. Because that's the other thing, that a vision isn't just for you.
Yeah.
It's for you and the world. So, and it's not something predictable, and it's not something that you can see how to do it, you know, but yet it's available. So, you know, it's interesting. This time of the year brings up, you know, all of those kind of conversations, at least for me, you know, around the end of the year, the celebration, the harvest. You know, you celebrate the harvest and you acknowledge that the fields are going to be now left to replenish themselves, you know, over the winter months, and to, you know, to lay dormant. And so, you know, what am I doing for myself inside of that conversation? So anyway, I noticed this, that's what I was left with inside of that moment. Yeah, so I'm going to throw it back to you, Henrietta.
Okay. Yeah. it really challenged me, you know, the story. You know, I've heard of a million times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to this, and it was just kind of spur of the moment, my goddaughter called me on Friday about 30 minutes before she was going to pick me up. And I'm trying to get rid of this echo, but she asked me if I, okay, I think it's gone now. She asked me, you know, if I would go to this play with her. So I just started making these sweet potato pies and batter, you know. So I went on and I finished making the batter and I stuck the pies in the oven, okay. And she thought that it started at 7:30, so she picked me up at 7 o'clock. And it was about 15 minutes away. Only when I get in the car, she finds out that it started at 7 o'clock. Okay? So we get there about 15 minutes later, which was perfect time because it was about 2.5 hours long. And so when we got inside, you know, the black nativity, it's a combination of Langston Hughes poetry and music and dance and, you know, that kind of thing. And so audiences, you know, this is a mostly African-American audience, and it's an African-American cast. And so you really got an opportunity to look at this theory about, not theory, but the fact of where Jesus came from and the color of his skin, you know, and all of those kinds of things. And so it was really, really interesting, that piece of it as well. So, you know, I got a chance to, like, really take a look at that in person, you know, rather than pictures, but to actually look at these characters from the standpoint of their being of African descent. Okay. Then the other piece was that what they did with it, they did it in a, you know, up to date form, which is the way Jesus taught. He always, you know, his parables were always about, you know, fishing or whatever they did of that time. So they told the same story that I just told, but they had it by a guy and his son. And the guy was a, you know, what we call a gangbanger. And he had shot somebody because he had done something to a friend or, you know, like that. So the guy comes home and lays on the couch, you know, with the gun. He just lays on the couch and he falls asleep. And he dreams. And in his dream, his father, who had made his transition through gun violence, is walking with him and explaining to him about this Christmas story or this birth of the Christ or the nativity. And so when they get to the part about, you know, he's watching the son and the father, they walk in and off the stage, you know. And so the father is telling the story about Jesus, and he's like, God, this guy is really cool. He's helping people and healing people and doing this and doing that. And, you know, so when it gets to the part where they are ready to crucify him because he was, you know, of what he was doing. He was accused of working on the Sabbath and, you know, the different things that he was charged with. The son says, but he's innocent. He didn't have anything to do with it. That was so-and-so, you know. And the father says to the son, so was the guy that you shot. He was innocent. He was just a friend of somebody else who did something, you know. And so that's how this play, it like starts off, and that's how it moves through. And every scene where they show what Jesus was doing or what was happening, then the son, they show the son's reaction to it, looking at it from his standpoint, you know. It was really, really good. And the other interesting thing about it is that when you are clear, and you know I've been real clear this week, Glenn, okay? So you listen to things and you hear things that you haven't heard before. You know, like when you be with what is, you know, when you be with what is, you can look into what is and see the possibilities that there might be another way of doing something. But when you're not clear, when your mind is clouded, or when your thoughts are all discombobulated, or you're judging yourself, or you're judging someone else, then you don't get a chance to experience what might be underneath that thing that triggers you. So this question that we're in this year is so powerful. What is available when I is how the Birmingham summit asked that question, because this came out of that summit. What is available when I, not if I, but when I notice my trigger? Notice my trigger. Like, what was available for this guy with the gun? If he noticed that he was upset about something before he went to shoot the guy,
If he had just noticed, my upset is not even with him. My upset is with his boy or his relative. So what is available is that maybe he would not have shot the guy. When I notice, and be with it, be with whatever life shows you, like, you're not really mad at this person. You're upset about this. Deal with this upset so that you don't go and do something crazy. All right? And so be with what is. Be with the upset. Like, be with it. You know, be with the fact that you might not have $10,000, $15,000 to spend on Christmas. You may not have $10 or $15 to spend on Christmas gifts. Be with that. And what is available, what's available is you might be able to make some Christmas gifts. You might be able to call a friend who's a designer or whatever. You might walk into a bookstore and they've marked down all of the good books just for that one day. Glenn, that's what happened yesterday. And I keep telling you, every day there's something different. And all of the good books have been marked down to $5, some to $3, and some to $1. So the $30 you have can actually buy 30 gifts. So you have to trust that all of your desires and your needs will be fulfilled. And when you trust, then you can hear Spirit say, go to the bookstore. Or go do this, and whatever it is that you have need of will be right there. When you notice your trigger, be with what is, and trust that it will provide you access to your vision fulfilled. Your vision fulfilled might have been to buy everybody in your family 30 gifts. I mean, gifts. Buy each person a gift, and there might be 30 people in your family. You got $30 and you go into a bookstore and all the books are $1. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, and there it is. But that's what's available. That's what's available when you notice your trigger.
Well, see, you know, the thing that I get about that is that until you're present to that you're triggered, and you be with what is, not trying to have it be something other than what it is, all of the opportunities that are in front of you show up. So that opportunity of the books being reduced, but you wouldn't have been present to that as a possibility until you took yourself to the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
So you be with what is. What is you got 30 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
What is you need 30 gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So you walked into the bookstore standing in that possibility and allowed the bookstore to contribute to your vision fulfilled. Powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. Oh, we lost Henrietta. She'll be back. So that's what's going on. That's what we're present to. That is what we are up to. Looking at and being with what's available. One of the things that we back to you, Henrietta.
Okay. So, you know, I'm just real present. I'm real present to the present. The present, the gift that I am. You know, the gift that I can be. Like when I stand inside of that question. You know, I mean, just this week has been very, very, and not just this week, really, really since the summit annual event in Birmingham. You know, like really, it's been just more and more and more and more. What is it? Unveiling or unraveling, or you know how you layer by layer, you peel off the layers. You know, I'm just present to how powerful that summit. That was a powerful summit. You know, and every time I think it's like, okay, you know, how things are so good, and you're like, oh God, I just hope this lasts forever. You know, and that's available. If, like you said, keep being present. Keep staying the question. You know, stay in the declaration. You know, just stay there. Stay there. Not like don't move, but move. You know, like keep questioning yourself. You know, keep moving with the challenges and the appearances. You know, keep knowing that everything is definitely in order, divine order, if you're comfortable using that. But that everything is, and you are creating it, because the vision was given to you, and in your development of the vision, because the vision came from the universe, it came from life. Everything that you need to bring the vision forth has come with it, but you have to align yourself with what that means. And, you know, and many times what it means is getting rid of some of the baggage that you have or some of the blocks that we have created or that I have created that keep me from bringing my vision forward. So as I get rid of the baggage, the vision can come through, you know, which is why I get the four parts of that question, you know, like what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. You know, and it's like in that order, you know, I have to ask myself when I'm triggered, what's available, Henrietta, what is available here? Not what do I feel like, not what do I want to do, not how do I want to respond, not pointing the finger, but what is available for me? If I notice that I'm triggered, no. So, what, Glenn, like standing there, what is the gift that you will give to yourself this holiday season?
Well, you know, that's an interesting conversation. And to be honest with you, I hadn't quite thought about it, but I've been working on some things. And I've been working, and the things I've been working on have to do with my personal space.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking that there are books that I need to throw out. There papers that I need to reorganize, because I've got, like, spaces where I've got stuff that I'm accumulating. And so I think the gift for myself this year is to organize myself, like to throw out, to literally, you know, and that's the other thing. I've got clothes that I'm thinking that I should give away to the folks from Sandy. You know, so when I look, I want to call it a purging, a cleaning, a reorganizing. But that's what I see the gift for myself, is to be able to do that, to get rid of some of my clutter, to impact my personal space.
Mm-hmm. That's a great gift. That's what cleared me this season. I stayed in the house a couple of days, and I did that. I cleared and cleaned. I can't remember. I think it was sometime in October. Near the end of October. And I mean, I cleaned, and I got rid of five bags of shoes, and four or five bags of clothes. And I hadn't even gone through my closet. This was just stuff I had laying around. Okay, piled up, ready to go, ready to give away, and had never, like, pushed it out the door. Some of it was right at the door, you know. And I called two people to come over to make sure that I got it done. And every time one of them left, I would ask them, will you take this and drop it off in those bins, you know, those giveaway bins where people can come and get things. Would you take this? Do you know somebody who wears my size shoe? Can you take them, you know, to that shelter? Can you take them to this? And every time somebody left, I would, you know, so that it wouldn't be at the door again, because that's where it had been.
Yeah.
You know. And that's really how I started this movement that's going on inside of me. And then I kept it in order. So every time, you know, I would never be in a rush, such a rush that I couldn't pick up something that I had dropped, or, you know, put back something that I had taken out before I left the house. So I had to make a conscious effort to maintain it, the order that I had created, you know. But this was also, after Sandy, because Sandy had me be in the house. Right, because I had been, like, flying back and forth. So Sandy had me be in the house. So it was that week, that last week of October, I think it was. Yeah. And that created movement. It created movement for me, you know. And it continued. You know, it continued, and I'm like watching it work. It's the principles that we talk about all of the time, you know. The like attracts like, you know, the clear yourself, like clearing yourself until you can be present, you know, until you can be present. Also, I have a lot of paper, too. And in this age with the computers and the iPads and the whatever, like, really, do we need all the paper? I have notebooks and, you know, whatever. And I do know, you know, I want to hold on to them because I use them for reference. But is there another way? You know, like, is there a better way? I mean, how do I have all of that stuff downloaded, you know? And put on a disc. I guess you almost have to hire somebody to do that for you if you want to, you know, organize to the degree that you don't have any paper or books or anything, but just to, you know, do it to the degree where you know where everything is and you can put your hands on things, you know. is another way to do it. So that's a great gift. You know, that's the gift that I gave to myself recently was the order, was the getting the order and maintaining the order. But and it's like we were talking earlier, Glenn, about once you start to get the order in your house, because the house, you know, your house is really your consciousness. Then you become aware of the things that you need to do. You know, like those things we were talking about, okay, we need to get this back, we need to get that back, we need to make sure this is in place, that's in place. I mean, as far as business is concerned, you know. And I think, you know, when you do one, everything else just kind of falls in place.
That is so true. When I look at, sometimes, you know, around my desk, I don't even have to clear my desk. But sometimes if I just straighten it out,
yeah,
stuff starts popping up that I need to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
It just magically appears.
Appears,
but not,
yeah.
But it's not really magic, because it's about clearing.
Uh-huh.
Because you created an opening for that clearing to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is right. And everything, and it's just amazing how what you need is always right there. What you're looking for is always right before you.
Yes. Yes, it is.
No. And every situation that I would have called you about and told you was challenging, I have been able to hear clearly what to do, and what to do in a peaceful, loving way. I've been, you know, that's how it comes now. Whereas before it was different. It wasn't peaceful. It was loving, but not the kind of loving I'm talking about. You know, this is much more comfortable for me, you know, to handle challenges in this particular way, where I know I can check myself and say, no, that's my ego. Ego, just ego on. Ego, ego, ego on. Okay?
All
there's
right.
A better way.
Okay.
Okay, there's a better way to do this. And I want the better way. I want the way, I want to handle this challenge in a way that it blesses everybody who's involved. And when I say that, like, and put the power behind it, then I get the answer on how to do it, how to handle it. And I do,
yeah.
I like that much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's good, because the thing that I keep seeing about this conversation, going back to clearing, going back to vision, you know, as we continually clear ourselves, those things that there are to do appear, just appear. And clearing,
mm-hmm,
could be clearing our space, could be clearing our thoughts, could be clearing our bodies, could be cleansing our bodies from all the ailments and disease and viruses. You know, all of that is clearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can fulfill on our purpose.
Yeah.
Just like Mary and Joseph.
That's right. That's right. The other part of that story that I wanted to talk about was when they both got clear, you know, Mary got clear first and then Joseph got clear. He took Mary to her cousin's house, which was far, far away. Martha, who was older and pregnant. Okay? She was pregnant, okay? And she had to deal with the fact that she was older and pregnant and you know, what people were saying about her and all of that. So when you get clear, the universe will always give you who you need to be around in a peaceful kind of way. So they were able to share this time together. You know, one being pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not being able to tell anybody that. The other one being of age. So, you know, so she went away and stayed with her cousin during the period of time, you know, what is available. You know, what is available when I be with this situation, what's available is that I will be provided a safe place, a happy place where I can commune and be excited about what's happening for me, where I don't have to deal with what the naysayers, as you know, the people who don't agree or the people who are looking at me and pointing a finger or whatever. I don't have to deal with that because the universe gave me this desire. They put this vision inside of me, and it will make the way clear and smooth for me to bring it forth. That's what I have to trust.
Yeah. Yeah, very powerful stuff. Very, very powerful.
Yeah. Yep. So we're asking those of you who are listening, is what gift will you give yourself this holiday season? This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our website is blacksummit.org. We are on our way to Ottawa, Canada, in 2013. And we are excited about what the question we're in now, where it's going to take us. And it came out of Birmingham, and it's going to Canada. That's where this conversation is headed, you know. And so what gift will you give yourself this holiday season? I suggest the first gift is to go to our website and read the declaration, read the question, and utilize it in your life. Like, find out what we're talking about. You know, call the talk show on a regular basis. And we have hundreds of people who listen to this show after the show. They listen to it through archives, so I'm speaking to those people as well. Call the talk show next Sunday, 646-716-9827, and share your vision. When you share your vision to people of like consciousness, which is what I call a safe space, it will expand your vision. You know, there's always something when somebody shares a vision in the summit conversation, there's always somebody who's in alignment with what you have been given to do. So call us next Sunday. We are here every Sunday from 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time for 1 hour. Share your vision. Share your challenges that you think you're having with the vision so that you can get clear that they're only stepping stones for you. And Glenn and I will be here every Sunday. You know, if we're not here, it'll be because we're just taking a break. Okay. We're taking a break, but we'll be back the next Sunday. And just call and share so you can bring this vision forth, because like Glenn said earlier, your vision is not just for you. Your vision was given to you because you're the person that has been chosen to bring it forth, and it is to bless the universe, not just you, but the universe. Just think about think about this story, this virgin birth story that we're talking about in 2012 years ago is when this occurred. And we're still talking about it. That's the way you bring your vision forth. Those are the kind of visions that you've been given that maybe we've been ignoring. So that's what we want to shift this season. You know, we want to be the gift that we were created to be. Glenn?
Absolutely. That's well said right there. Right there, you hit that nail on the hammer, okay? All right?
Okay.
I mean, that's really what we're here about, what we're here for. You know, we've got this ongoing conversation. We want to include your possibility, your vision, your purpose, you know, to be the fulfillment of. And we use this body of work at the International Black Summit to support you in fulfilling on your purpose and your vision. So that's what we're here to do. We're not here to do anything else other than that. And it really is an opportunity for you to gift yourself with this possibility. So we've got 2 minutes. Henrietta, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. Well, make sure you watch the concert, the Sandy Relief Concert. It's on the 12th. Of December, and they will be collecting money. You know, you can contribute that way. We don't ever want to forget the people who had that experience, just like we don't want to forget the people in New Orleans with Katrina. You know, they had that firsthand experience, but this affected everyone. So when something affects everyone, everyone has to contribute. Whatever you can contribute, contribute. If it's a phone call, if it's going to help somebody clean out their house, if it's to gather all of the things in your house that you don't need and send them to New York or New Jersey, whatever it is that you need to do, don't forget about the people in those two states that have had that experience. Glenn, I'm looking forward to next Sunday. This has been really a wonderful evening.
Yes,
I just got a text message about another call they want us to be on in about 5 minutes. But happy holiday to everyone and happy Hanukkah. Just call us. Give us a call so we can create together these visions that we've been given. God bless everyone. We love you much, and we will talk to you next Sunday, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Good night.
Good night. God bless. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. We love you, and we honor you, and we honor your partnership in moving this planet, this universe forward. Check out our declaration. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.